Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. Why don't you kneel with me for a word of prayer? Dear God, we come before you this morning hour and we want to thank you for today. We thank you that you are with us, that you have a deep interest in each one of our lives. We thank you for Jesus and the work that he did on Calvary to give us eternal life with you. That we can approach you boldly this morning to the throne of grace. Father, we pray that you just be with us today. I pray you be with me and anoint my lips as I share your word and the burden you place on my heart this morning. Just have your will and way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to start out with a question, a couple of questions before I give the title to the message. I want to know by raise of hands how many of you thought about the war in Iran this morning? A couple of people. How many of you thought long and hard about it, wondering how many people would be killed or hurt today, or how much land would be messed up? Just a few, a little bit, not much. How many of you thought about the possibility that the United States may be attacked today and you or your loved one may be killed or hurt because of the war in Iran? How many of you thought about that possibility this morning? No one. How many of you thought about the possibility that you or your loved ones may be drafted to go to war in the very near future? Some people that thought about that. I want to take it to a different level this morning. How many of you thought about it that Satan is out to kill and destroy today? A few people, very good. That he is mad and knows that his time is short. That he desires no good thing for you and is only interested in destroying you or your close relative. How many of you pondered on what kind of traps or snares Satan has set for you today? How many of you pondered on what kinds of traps or snares Satan has set for you today? The title of the message this morning is Destroying Satan, Part 1. I don't know how many of you can see that illustration well enough to know what I wrote up here. Destroying Satan, Part 1. You and I are in the target. We're in the crosshairs of Satan's weapons. I want to talk about that this morning. But I recognize that this message needs another message to counterbalance it. And Lord willing, next month I plan to preach on Destroying Satan, Part 2, where Satan is the target. And what God has given us through Jesus Christ to overcome Satan and his final destination. Like I said, I recognize this morning And what I have to share is one side to the picture, and not, I don't mean to leave you hanging without hope, but I just can't put everything in a message, one message. So I plan to take a look at who Satan is. We must know who, I plan on taking a look at who is Satan is. We must know who is out to destroy us. I then plan on looking at characteristics and doings of Satan and his helpers. Forces that show that they are out to kill. Why Satan is so intent on capturing us. Ways he ensnares us. And some examples of people he tempted, possessed, and or caused affliction to. First of all, who is Satan? According to my understanding of Scripture, Satan was an anointed cherub who was created by God before the world was made. He rose up in pride and rebellion against God. God then cast him out of heaven. He is now at war against God and God's people. He is the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He is the head of principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen to some of the names of Satan that the Bible calls him. Some names of Satan include Tempter, Wicked One, Accuser of the Brethren, God of this world, the Father of Lies, Adversary, Angel of Light, Beelzebub, Thief, and the Evil One. None of those names are something that we desire. None of those names are something that just sends a thrill in our heart. I hope not, anyway. The Bible also uses various metaphors to reveal the character of our enemy, Satan. Jesus, in the parable of the four soils, likens Satan to the birds that snatch the seed off the hardened ground. In another parable, Satan appears as the sower of weeds among the wheat. Satan is likened to a wolf and a roaring lion. In Revelation 12:9, Satan is the great dragon, that ancient serpent, a reference to the serpent that deceived Eve. According to Strong's, Satan means an opponent, adversary, and the arch enemy of good. I found that quite interesting. That's the meaning of Satan, is the arch enemy of good. So anything that's good in God's eyes, Satan is directly against that and opposite of that. He is the enemy of God, of all God does and of all God loves. Devil. Devil means a false accuser, slanderer, or a transducer. The American Heritage Dictionary defines transducer as to make false or malicious statements about someone in order to cause humiliation or disgrace. That's one of the names for the devil. To make someone who makes malicious statements about someone in order to cause humiliation or disgrace. Does that ring anything in your hearts when you hear that? What the devil is up to. We see time and again that the devil is out to destroy the glory and name of God by making God's children do wicked things and or have bad attitudes. It seems that Satan is out to do that, just to bring down the character and nature of God and make it a curse word by the way his children act. Some characteristics and doings of Satan and his helpers. In Job 1:6-7, it says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Revelation 12:10, we see, And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan is out to accuse us before God day and night. We see in Acts 26, verse 18, that Satan has power. It says to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Turn them from the power of Satan unto God. I want to read several verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You can turn there. I want us to look about this man of the son of perdition. Because at the very end of the passage it says, whose coming is after the working of Satan. So what the son of perdition does is just the same things that Satan himself does. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 through 9. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is to show what Satan is doing. Says that he does after the working of Satan. And he says the things that the son of perdition is doing. Sitting himself above all that is called God or worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. John 8:44 says, Ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is Satan. He commits murders, he tells lies, and causes others to fall into lust, into lie, into murder. 1 John 3:8a, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. So from the beginning of time, the devil sinneth. 1 John 3:10, In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, for whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Usually a child copies their parent. It says that the children, you are the father of the devil, and your lust you will do. The lust of your father you will do. I think I read that voice. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. In this the children of God manifest, and the children of the devil. Those who do not righteous, we see that God, Satan does not righteous. And those that love not their brother, we see that Satan does not love, but rather hates. And in Acts 13, 8 through 10, we see somebody that is called the child of the devil. And we want to look and see what kind of person this person was. And we can imply from that, this is what Satan is like. Acts 13, 8 through 10. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So we see Satan, Satan's children act this way. So Satan himself is full of all subtleties and mischief. He's an enemy of all righteousness, and he perverts the right ways of the Lord. That is who Satan is, and things that he does. Now I want to look at several verses that talk about Satan is out to destroy us. I want to talk about that Satan has his target on you and I. I know for me it seems easy to get distracted and go about life and not remember that there's an enemy who's out to destroy us. That's his sole purpose, that our enemy is busy. He's busy in his kingdom work. Are we busy in the kingdom work of God? Are we just sitting back like Satan would have us to? And once again, I know that this is very imbalanced. And Lord willing, I'll preach another message to balance it out. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. John 10:10a, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We see that he set snares, he has snares. And he knows exactly what snare will work for you. You can't catch a bear on an ant trap. You can't catch an ant on a bear trap. Satan knows the snares that will work for you. Revelation 12:9, part A. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's his goal. That's Satan's goal, is to deceive you and me. Deception is real. Deception is all around us. It's from the devil. Daniel 7, verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. So the devil speaks great words against God himself. And he shall, it says, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He's out to drag us down, to drag us down into discouragement, to wear us out, to make us give up. He has us in his crosshairs. Satan possesses people. We see this in Matthew 9:3. And they went out, and as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. He even possesses children sometimes. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. 1 Timothy 3:6-7, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. This is talking about the bishops, but it applies to us as well. Satan wants to condemn us. He wants to cause us to feel condemned. He wants us to fall into reproach. Why? Because that causes the name of God to be blasphemed when his children sin against God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Is Satan blinding our eyes? He wants to. Why does Satan want to destroy us? Why does Satan want to destroy us? Zechariah 2 verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. I firmly believe this morning that Satan is out to destroy us because we are the apple of God's eye. And Satan knows that the only way he can get any revenge against God is by destroying the apple of God's eye. We are precious in the sight of God. And if Satan can destroy us, it's his way of getting revenge against God. Revelation 12:12 says, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I believe another reason Satan wants to destroy us is because he is full of wrath. And he knows his time is short. And he wants to destroy as many of us as he can. Once again, I believe it is to try to get some sort of revenge against God. I want to talk about ways Satan attacks and ensnares us. I have several points under this one. Satan causes, number one, unforgiveness and bitterness. Unforgiveness and bitterness. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. It seems that Paul is saying, we know that Satan does not want you to forgive others. That's a device of Satan, is unforgiveness. But we're going to forgive so that Satan cannot get advantage of us. Unforgiveness causes Satan to get advantage of us. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let all bitterness be put away from you. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Satan defiles us by bitterness if we let him. Separation number two, separation of spouses. 1 Corinthians 7:5, depart ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Malachi 2:13-16. You can turn with me to this. Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, nor receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit and will of one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed in your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. So we see separation of spouses is a way that Satan attacks or ensnares us. Number three, deceit by counterfeit. Deceit by counterfeit. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan attacks or ensnares us by having his workers turn into the angels of light. Can we see through this deception, through this deceit, can we recognize the counterfeits? Number four, by divisions. Romans 16:17-18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Those that cause divisions and offenses, those are ways that Satan attacks or ensnares us. For the next point, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Distractions and apathy. Oh, and it's another way Satan attacks and snares us. Distractions and apathy. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then what happens? "Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." So we see distractions and apathy played out in these verses. First kind is when the seed is trodden down and the birds pick it up. It says Satan is like that, and he comes to snatch the seeds that are sown into our hearts. If it's a hard heart. Then there's others who hear and receive the word, but they have no root, and in time of temptation fall away. Do we fall away in the time of temptation? Do we take root? Does the word of God take root in our heart? Then others, the word, when they hear it, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. A tactic of the enemy. Crosshair on us. To cause us, the cares of this word, to choke out God out of our life and his word. Romans 8, 11 through 14, "And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." It's time to wake up out of sleep. Are we sleeping? Has the devil lulled us to sleep? Satan doesn't care how he gets us. He just cares that he does. Number 6, discontentment and greed. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Wow. What all just happened in this passage? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Oh, fall into the snare. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Do we want to drown in destruction and perdition? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, what happens to them who covet after the love of money? Covet after money? They have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that you cannot serve both God and mammon, and he wants to get you to serve mammon. Number 7, carnality, hypocrisy, and worldly mindedness are another ways that Satan attacks or ensnares us. Carnality, hypocrisy, and worldly mindedness. Romans 8, 5-8 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of this flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's Satan's desire for you, that you would not please God. So he wants us to be in the flesh and to mind the things of the flesh, to be carnally minded, so we'd be dead. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Oh, does that sound familiar? Enemy, enmity against God? Satan, he has his crosshairs on you and I. He's the enemy of God, and he wants us to be the enemy of God too. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Are you a friend of the world this morning? Am I? If so, we're the enemy of God, just like Satan wants for us. 1 John 2:15 through 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And who is? If it's not of the Father, do we want anything to do with it? If it's not of the Father, it's of Satan. Satan wants that for us, because he doesn't want us to have anything to do with God or the things of God. Matthew 23, verse 28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Are we a hypocrite? Satan's satisfied with that. Satan's satisfied with you and I being a hypocrite. To pretend to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. He's perfectly fine if you want to appear to others that you're right with God, when you know deep down in that you're not. That doesn't faze Satan one bit. In fact, you might be a perfect helper for him. Because you might could speak to somebody else and deceive them. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Is your love waxing cold? Is iniquity abounding in our age today? Don't let the devil use it to make you cold. I want to look yet at some examples of people who Satan tempted, possessed, hindered, or tormented in some way. The first one is going to be Adam and Eve. Where this way first came on the scene, where Satan first came on the scene. Genesis 3:1-6, and then verse 13. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Satan is out to beguile us with trickery. He knows that most of the time we won't fall for his tricks if they will be out in the open. What animal will knowingly recognize a danger or a trap and fall into it? In fact, people go through great care and expense to hide the trap. Why? Because they know the animal won't just fall into it. Same way with Satan. He knows that we won't just fall into his traps. He uses deceit. He beguiles us. David, I'm using examples of people Satan tempted, possessed, hindered, or tormented in some way. David, in 1 Chronicles 21:1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. A man after God's own heart was provoked by Satan to number Israel. Job. In Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read a story about a man named Job who was a perfect and an upright man. From what we can gather, Satan did not like this one bit, so he moved God to allow him to inflict misery on Job in hopes that Job would curse God. Joshua the high priest, Zechariah 3:1-2. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? We see that Satan was standing at the right hand of Joshua the high priest to resist him. Jesus, we see this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Turn with me to there. Satan even had the audacity to tempt Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Excuse me. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He was led there to be tempted of the devil. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he, Jesus, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." What? Satan knows scripture too, and he might even use it against you. We saw that he did in the Garden of Eden. We saw that he did here. And to Jesus, he used the scriptures himself, but twisted it out of context. Another tactic of Satan. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So Jesus himself was tempted of the devil. Again, we see this in Matthew 16:21-23. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." We see that Satan used another person for his work. The next person we want to look is a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Luke 13:16. "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Satan had bound this woman for 18 years. "The man with the unclean spirit," Mark 5:2-5. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains which had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." This man, Satan, it put an unclean spirit in him, which made him do tremendous things. A son, Luke 9, verses 37 to 39. "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, they foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him." the other person that Satan got a hold of. Judas Iscariot, Luke 22, verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. Another one of Jesus' own disciples that Satan used, and he entered into him. Simon Peter, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Ananias, Acts 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why has Satan filled thy heart? Paul was hindered by Satan. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted by measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lastly, Michael the archangel, Jude 1, 9. Michael the archangel, a powerful angel in the kingdom of heaven, Satan came against him also. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a wailing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. My burden this morning is that we would constantly remember to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, has his target, has his sights on you and I. He is as a roaring lion walking about seeking if he can devour you and I. He is a thief, and he comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy you and I. We need to remember that Satan is very busy and does not rest. His only plan is destruction of as many souls as possible. I believe that he specifically targets those who are active in God's work. And why would that be? He's not afraid of those who are sitting back and doing nothing. That's what he wants. He's afraid of those who are active in the kingdom of God and his work, who will attack and counterattack the kingdom of darkness. I believe that there's an extra sight set on those people. Like I say in the beginning, I know this message needs another message to balance it. Lord willing, I plan on preaching part 2 to this message on April 5th. I would encourage you to be here to get the balance. May God bless you and keep you from our enemies.